Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that reading. I know that many of you are probably as confused as Mark was because he says, is this all? Because there's much more to that parable than what I had him read. Well, what I want to talk to you about today is priorities. And that four verses he read there discusses the priorities of those men who received those talents from their master. One of them had the priority of going and investing his money, of work, making it work for him, and gain five more talents from the five he originally had. The other man had two, and he did the same. He went, he worked with it. That was their priorities, was to make money for their master. But the third man, his priority was not to make money, but not to lose money. So therefore, he dug a hole and buried his so it wouldn't get lost. It'll still be there when he wants it. Well, you know, we prioritize in our lives too. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, I could go on for hours, but don't worry, I won't. Instead, I only want to cover my top six priorities. My priority number six is myself. Now, I'll be truthful with you. If I prioritized to 10, I would be number 10. If I prioritized to 20, I would be number 20. But since I'm only going to 6, I'm now number 6. I moved well up the ladder. But there's certainly nothing prioritized or important about me. For I am meaningless. I am only here to serve my master. I'm only here to do his work. I am meaningless in myself. And as self, that's where I should be. Now the world's going to tell you that you are to look out for number one. And you are number one. And I just told you just the opposite. I told you rather than number one, you are the absolutely bottom of the ladder. You're down as far as you can go. Now, which is correct? I believe I am because I believe that the Lord prioritized in that manner. And as I say, myself, I fall into priority number six, which is as low as I can go. Only because of what I feel my worth is to God. Then I'm going to go to number five. What is important, just a little more important than I am? That is money. Now I know many of us prioritize our money much higher than I'm doing it right here. We work on Sundays so we can make the overtime. I did. When I was working, I had a job where I could get triple time for working on Sundays. Boy, did I jump when they wanted somebody on Sundays. I didn't need to go to church. I can get that some other time. I didn't need to do anything, but I needed to grab that money while it was available because I wasn't going to be able to do that all my life, and sure enough, I wasn't. But you know what? It didn't do a thing for me. I earned that money. You know what? I spent that money. It's all gone. So, what was it truly worth to me? Very little. It was meaningless. Then we take the next step up to priority number three. Now, this is where I start to get a little bit in a tight spot of breaking down 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Well, 4 is you. I prioritize you in that position. I have a responsibility to you. I have a responsibility to all my brothers and sisters. And that's where I'm classifying you. I'm classifying you as friends. I'm classifying you as family. You're my brothers and sisters, and I owe you. I owe you for being here and listening to me today. That's a pretty big debt right there that I've got to pay. That's just the way that it goes. But I'll tell you, I do owe you, and I have to put you into a priority. That's the reason I went up to 6 originally, because originally I only started at 5. But I said, no, I've got 2 of them there that I need to separate. And the next one that I want to talk about is number 3. Number 3 is my children. Because my children are very important to me. The Lord blessed me and my wife with 4 children. And in our old age, we're learning what that true blessing is. Someday you may also. But let me tell you, there is no greater blessing than having those who care for you physically, spiritually, personally. Because our children are what we leave behind. My wife did a fabulous job of raising our 4 children. She taught them their priorities. She taught them what it meant to serve. As she served them and she served me. She's been doing that for 60 plus years. She still serves me today. For she is my reason for moving on. But she also taught our children, and our children have taken that knowledge. We only have 2 who are present and capable of doing it. One of them moved into my house to take care of me because I'm a decrepit old man. And one of them oversees that one to see that she does a good job. And between the 2 of them, they keep me in line. And that's a hard row to hoe. Those of you who know me can imagine how much they have to struggle. But they're there when I need them. They're there when I need help. They get me to my doctor's appointments. They get me to visit with my wife. They take care of me. They cook for me. They do all that is necessary to see that I am okay. So I have to put them up to number 3. That's where, as I say, when I went from 5 to 6, it was because I separated my brothers and sisters in Christ from my children. And my children do have to come in my priority just a little bit ahead of others. I'm sure those of you who have children understand that. For that's the way we have to be. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It goes on down the line. But there's the love. There's the love that we have. There's the love that God had for us. It's the same love that we have for our families. Only more so. Because God gave His only begotten Son to us. He only took my wife and loaned her to me for 60 years. I don't own her. She belongs to Him. However, He's allowed me to have her. He's allowed me to use her. And I would not have made it to where I am today without her. I always said I've had 2 wonderful women in my life. My mother got the first 19 years and my wife got all the rest of them. So I'm not going to tell you who came out on the short end of that deal. But God gave me what I needed. I needed a strong woman in my life. even for that first 19 years, I need a much stronger woman than most of you will ever realize. Because if there was evil, I found it. And if I didn't find it, I generated it. Because I guarantee you, I was in the middle of it. And with 20 years in the military, those of you who served in the military know what I mean. There's no more bucket of help than you'll have right there. Especially when you get the privilege of serving in a war zone. While you're over there twiddling your thumbs, playing silly war games, trying to stay alive, your wife and children are back here at home worrying about you, whether you're going to be there or not, whether you're going to come or not. For there's nothing either one of you can do. But you have to prioritize. You have to arrange things as best you can. That's why my wife is my number two priority. Now, there's many of you who will say, well, she should be number one. And possibly she should, but she got beat out. I'm sorry. Because God is number one. Now, why is God number one? Because all of the other priorities I've mentioned to you, all of the other things that are happening, God is controlling them. God is taking care of me. As I say, He gave me those two women I needed. He gave me the means I need to support my wife and my family. He gave me His Son. He gave me a chance at redemption. But now it's up to me. Now, how am I showing that God is my number one priority? That's something that we all have to look at. You can make your own priority list and you can put your own on there. But I hope you at least rate God number one. I don't care where everything else falls. That's up to you. But I do believe God should be number one for each and every one of us. And when you make that list, remember what God gave to you. And remember what He asks of you. Go ye into all nations, preaching the gospel and teaching. We are not necessarily going to be traveling to foreign countries to do the teaching, but we can reach out to those countries. We can reach out to the people who are there to help them do it. We can reach out right here at home. How many of you have taken the opportunity to go talk to a neighbor and invite them to church? I'm not saying they're coming. I'm not saying they'll say yes. I've invited three or four several times and they turned me down every time. That's okay. I'm going to invite them again. They're going to have to turn me down again. Do you quit? Did Jesus quit? He went to the sinners. He went to the sinners till the day He was hung on the cross. And even after He came down, He went to the sinners. He never gave up. Should we give up? If we're going to make God our first priority, or if we're going to give God any priority at all, we need to look at what we are doing. What are you doing to help? I was sitting out there in the pew for quite some time, sitting on my thumbs, doing nothing. And I finally woke up one day. And I said, you can't do much, but you can certainly do a lot more than what you're doing now. I then went to the elders and I said, if you need someone to speak, I would be willing to speak. I've done it before. I can do it again. Not necessarily well, certainly not great, but I did it, and I do it, and I will continue to do it. Because I want to serve. So I try to help the elders. I went to the elders and I said, we're having problems with our heating and cooling system. If you would like me to take the charge here, I will make the phone calls. I will get arrangements made. I will see if we can get the problem solved. The elders came to me and said, go for it. I did. For those of you who don't know, the 1st of April, we should be getting our large unit in, which will control the foyer. We've got the small unit, which will control the office, already in. But the large one will be in on the 1st of April, according to schedule. I prioritize that the elders needed help, not because they're incapable, but because of time-wise. I immediately decided, you're sitting here in your chair watching TV with the telephone beside you. You can pick it up and make a phone call as easy as they can. Probably easier, because both of them have to go to work. You don't. But is there something you can do to help? Is there something we can do to help the elders? Is there something we can do to help the congregation? Is there something we can do to help one another? Is there something we can do for the Lord? Because that's what He wants us to do, is to help each other. Be there for each other. Do for each other. Don't look and sit there and wait and see what somebody else is going to do. But look and see what you can do. I know for a fact that we have a lot of trouble getting teachers for the classes. This is something, the only reason I know that for a fact is because it's gone on for years. It's not something that just started. But nobody wants to teach. But everybody wants to be taught. And a lot of people do not want to be taught either. That's why I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot want to be taught, and many do not want to be taught. They don't like it when you point out that they're not doing something they should be doing, or they are doing something they shouldn't be doing. None of us like that, do we? But you know what? I don't think you're a whole lot better than I am. Because I'm human, and I make mistakes. Oh, do I make mistakes. Believe me, I've got lots of them. And through my life, I've got people who knew me back when I was in high school that says, I don't believe you're up there delivering a message. I don't believe you were teaching in church. I don't believe that the person you are is the person you were. Well, they're right. The person I am today is not the person I was then. That's because my priorities changed. So you see, I'm not saying your priorities have got to be fixed in stone. I'm not saying they got to be absolute. I'm saying you set them today because they may need to be changed tomorrow. But if they don't, or if they do, carry them out. Don't ignore them and say, oh, well, they'll change again tomorrow anyway, so why should I bother? Why you should bother is because priority number one, God. You should bother because He's up there and He's watching. Now, we were given the parable of the talents there. I sometimes think to myself, what had happened if it had turned different? What would have been the outcome had the servant with 5 talents lost those 5 talents so that he no longer had them? Or the person with 2 lost the 2 talents. However, the person with 1 still had his, because he didn't do anything with it anyway. But he could have brought it back out. Would the master have been more pleased with him than the 2 who lost their talents? I don't believe so. I definitely do not think so. because they would have done what they could with theirs. They would have tried. Does to say we tried mean we succeeded? Absolutely not. But to say we tried means just that. We tried. We put forth an effort. We need to put forth more effort. This building needs to be filled. We need people here to fill these pews. Since COVID hit, we have been down in the dumps. And you know what? We never came back from it. For those of you who were worshiping with us before COVID, you understand what I'm saying. We maintained a base, but that's all. Are we putting forth an effort to grow? Are we putting forth the effort that is needed to bring others? Are we even trying? There's one way you can never fail. That way is to don't try. Otherwise, I guarantee you, you're going to have some failure. But is this the failure going to rule you? Or is the failure going to encourage you? Jesus had many failures. In fact, they nailed him to the cross. But you know what? They never took over for him. He never gave up. Even on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know what they know not what they do. Jesus never gave up. Should we? We might get our feelings hurt. Or we might hurt his feelings or her feelings because we ask them to come to church. They might not want to hear that. You know what? You're probably right. You're going to find many of them that will not want to hear that. You're going to find many of them who will shrug it off, who will ignore it. You may even find some that will be angry because you invited them. But you know what? That doesn't matter. Because if you invited them, you didn't hurt them. But then again, if you don't, you didn't try. Now, I'm not saying you're trying to hurt them, but I am saying you're trying to help them gain salvation. The only way to do that is to get them started somewhere. Whether it's teaching them yourself, whether it's inviting them and bringing them to church, or whatever it is, put forth an effort to do it yourself. Don't wait on someone to do it for you, because that's not everyone's responsibility. Now, God loves you, each and every one of you, as much as God loves me. And you know what? As much as God loved Jesus, He loves us. But are we putting that into its proper position? Are we giving that the proper priority? Or are we looking at what I can get out of the world? What it means to the world? As I said, the world's going to tell you that you deserve space number one. For there's no one greater than you, and if you don't look out for yourself, then who's going to? Well, I can answer that. God's going to. Whether you look out for yourself or not. Yes, you're going to do it to a degree. You should. You're going to try to maintain your health. You're going to try to be safe. God's even going to take care of the money so that you'll be able to do things like that. You'll be able to eat properly. You'll be able to be clothed properly. You'll be done well. And God's going to oversee that. Because God's going to take care of all of your needs. He has promised that. He is not going to take care of your wants. Unless one of your wants happens to be one of your needs. But He will take care of all of your needs. But you have to also put forth an effort. You have to do I have to do. We all need to quit letting Joe do it. Quit letting Sam take care of it. Quit giving it over to someone else. Instead, look and see what's going on within our own family here. And I count us as a family. See what's going on here. See, this is where I can help. This is what I can do. We've got two elders. Go to them. Tell them, I will help in this way if you would like. If you need my service, I'm here. Because you're not serving the elders. You're serving God's people. By serving God's people, you're serving God. Now we need to do that. We need to hold on and we need to step forward. We need to stop being cowards. We worry too much about the world and what they think. And not enough about God and what He knows. For God doesn't think. He knows. He knows our hearts. Oh, we're not going to be able to just put up a pretext and He'll say, we got it. Everybody sees I'm doing it when you're not doing anything, because God's going to know the truth. But if we get out there and we do it, God's going to know that too. And believe me, there are people in this congregation who would love to have help from each and every one of you in some capacity or the other. And we need to start growing this congregation back to where we were. We need to start working. Don't look for the preacher and the elders and the song leaders to do it for you. Certainly don't look for me to do it for you, because I'm not capable. But look to God to do it. For God will reap the harvest if we plant the seed. But the seed has to be planted first. God will reap it. God will bring it in. Leave it to that. Yes, there's going to be some of the sowing which will fall on bad ground and will not come out. So there's going to be those that are going to be lost. But think of the one or two or three which are going to fall on good soil. And there's going to be a bountiful harvest. God will reap those. I'm sure it's going to be a much smaller crop that God will be able to reap than will simply laugh at you and go on their merry way. Because God has said that there will be. But you know, He told me that. But He didn't tell me, don't try. He didn't tell me, don't do it. Because there's going to be too many failures and you're going to get your feelings hurt. Instead, He told me, go forth and preach the word to all the world. He's saying, do it. Sure, there are going to be those who turn you down. Sure, there are going to be those who aren't going to respond in any way at all. Others that may be laughing at you. I've been laughed at before. When I look in the mirror, that's a pretty funny looking thing. It's looking back at me. But you know what? God doesn't think so. God thinks I'm beautiful. Because He sees what's inside, not what's outside. And that's what He wants to see in you. That's what He wants to see in each and every one of us. He wants us to do. He wants us to care. And on that note, if there's any here who wish to respond to the word today, if there are any here who wish to come forward, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing the song selected for invitation.